Well, good morning. For those of you who weren't here last week, I made it up the steps. How about that? That's pretty good. I tripped last week, so just thought I'd get that out of the way in case anybody was wondering if it would happen again, right? You got to own it sometimes, right? Oh, my goodness. Well, my name is Mitchell Martin, and I'm one of the pastors here at Lakeland, and I'm always honored and privileged to be able to stand before you and to proclaim God's word. So I am excited to be here. I want to start off this morning pretty simply. I would ask you guys to draw your attention before the throne of grace, to draw in close and be near. Because what I'm going to do for the next few moments is I'm just going to read through the 23rd Psalm. And I would really like for you to draw near to God and enter into this time in a spirit of prayer, a spirit of charity, a spirit of grace, and just allow the Spirit of God to speak to your heart in a fresh way. Maybe some of you came here today and you were longing to hear from the Lord. Maybe some of you came here today and you've been struggling with something at work or something at home. And my prayer all week long has been that God would meet you here today. So if you would, draw near to the throne and hear the word of the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul and leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Just think on these words for just a moment in silence. Amen. The 23rd Psalm was written by King David, Israel's great warrior king, about 3,000 years ago. Israel was at that time becoming a major player on the world stage, politically, economically, and spiritually. You know, the exploits of King David are recorded in many places throughout the Bible. Hebrew poets and others had composed poems and songs about this conquering king, saying things like this: Saul has struck down his thousand, and David his 10,000s. 1 Samuel 18. David slew Goliath, that larger-than-life Philistine enemy who taunted the armies of the living God. 1 Samuel 17. King David, that warrior king of Israel, he also defeated the Amalekites and the Philistines and the country of Moab and the Syrians and virtually all of Israel's enemies. You can find this all throughout 2 Samuel. Yet the 23rd Psalm portrays a different side of King David, Israel's warrior king. This psalm gives us a peek into the heart of David. He draws on his past experiences of tending his father's sheep as he was becoming a shepherd. The ideas and actions of a shepherd were one of the things that made David such a unique king. He could be fierce and unrelenting if you were his adversary, much like he was toward the lion and the bear who were trying to kill the sheep of his father's flock. Yet he could also be tender and forgiving. to those who had wounded him. David spared King Saul's life twice, even though he was being unfairly treated by Saul, who was actually trying to kill him. King David, the scripture records, was a man after God's own heart. Well, this psalm, the 23rd psalm, clearly shows that David relied upon and trusted in the Lord his God to lead and guide him all the days of his life. It is the very God of Israel whom David is writing about in this psalm. David here names God as his shepherd. Yet there are far-reaching implications about the one who was to come, the one who would be the great shepherd, or the good shepherd, or the chief shepherd, namely Jesus Christ. You know, when I was a little boy, maybe 5, 6 years old, I don't remember how old I was exactly, but I spent a lot of time at my grandmother's home, and she was a godly woman, one of the finest Christians I've ever known. And I could remember sitting by her side, and we would recite the 23rd Psalm together, and we would do it over and over and over again until I had it memorized, because she wanted the Word of God to be put in my heart. And this is long before I was a Christian. Many of you know my story. I'm not going to go into it in detail today at all. But it would be many years after the memorization of the 23rd Psalm before I finally bowed the knee to Jesus. And those words, throughout that time of wandering, echoed in my mind all those years. Never underestimate the power of the Word of God. There's power in the Word of God. It's the power of God unto salvation. That's what the Word of God does. And so let me encourage you, parents, grandparents, take the time to teach your children the Scripture, because it will produce a harvest of righteousness later that you may not see for many years. There were many times that my grandmother and my mother and my school teachers and my wife wondered if I would ever bow the knee to Jesus. But God is faithful, and let every man be a liar. God is faithful, and He does what only He can do. So don't give up, is what I'm trying to tell you. Don't forget, teach your children God's Word. Grandparents, teach your grandkids. You don't know what God's going to do with that, that thing that is planted within their heart. And this psalm has been memorized by generations of people just like me, who have found solace, who have found comfort, who have found the very presence of God Himself through these words. Because the Holy Spirit uniquely uses His Word to reach the hearts of people. That's what God does. And so I remember that as a child, and they're fond memories. I want to talk today in the 23rd Psalm as the Lord, as our leader. Jesus identifies Himself as the expected good shepherd in John 10:14. He's also called the great shepherd in Hebrews 13:20 and the chief shepherd in 1 Peter 5:4. Because the Lord was David's shepherd, his needs were met. And it reads like this: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The Lord is my shepherd. But He has to be your shepherd to receive and understand and experience the blessings of Almighty God, the Good Shepherd, the Lord Himself, must be your shepherd. He can't be your mom and dad's shepherd or your grandparents' shepherd. If you're going to experience the blessings of God Almighty, the Lord must be your shepherd. It's personal with God. God knows you by name. He knows you personally, whether you know Him or not. The Lord is my shepherd, David says, and because that's true, I shall not want. God Himself will provide everything that David needs in his life, spiritually, physically, and otherwise. That's what God does. And we take comfort in these words because the Lord is my shepherd. And because He's my shepherd, I shall not want. In the next few verses, verses 2 through 4, I want us to identify together four blessings from following the Good Shepherd as our leader. There are four basic blessings as following the Good Shepherd as our leader, as our God. In Psalm 23:2, it says, He makes me lie down in green pastures. The Good Shepherd, God Himself, provides spiritual nourishment. He gives you spiritual nourishment. How? Through His Word that we have, the Bible, the Word of God. We can feast on it anytime we want. We don't have to wait till Sunday. We don't have to wait till a small group time. We get to feast upon God's Word and take nourishment from it whenever we desire. And I'll say this about desire. The more you feast upon the Word of God, the more your desire for it will grow. The less you feast upon God's Word, the less desire you will have for it. It's in direct proportion to what you do with it. He provides that spiritual nourishment through the Word of God. He provides spiritual nourishment through the Spirit of God. If you're a believer in Christ, if the Lord is your shepherd, then your soul is nourished and replenished by the Spirit of God Himself, who lives in you and witnesses to your spirit and encourages you. That's another form of nourishment. Another way that He nourishes you and me as the Good Shepherd is through the people of God. Every Sunday and Wednesday, when I get to come here in this place and be with you, my soul is nourished. I'm fed because I see a piece of Jesus Christ that I don't see in myself when I see you. Because God expresses Himself fully through His body, the body of Christ, the church. And I see a fuller expression of who God is when I'm here, when I'm with you. You know, preachers and pastors, we don't just encourage you to come to church so we can check your name off a list, so that we can say that we've done the thing we're supposed to do. It's because we recognize and know that the fullest expression of God that we're ever going to know and see is when we're gathered together as the corporate body and we're singing praises unto our God. There's a reason that God has us gather as a people and not just by ourselves. Church is to be enjoyed and loved, and we receive nourishment, food for our souls from that. Another blessing that we receive from following the Good Shepherd is found in the next verse when he says, He leads me beside the still waters and He restores my soul. Another blessing is that we get spiritual restoration. Not just nourishment, but we get restoration, restored. Because we come to this place and we get fed and we get nourished and we get made whole again. And we go back out into the world on Monday through Friday or Saturday. And we get empty. and we make poor choices, and we sin. I'm not the only one, right? Am I too serious? Yeah. Really, we do. And we come to be restored. We follow the Good Shepherd. We follow the Lord for restoration. Salvation is first, but all of us as believers in Jesus Christ, we need to be continually restored in God through Christ. And following the shepherd restores us spiritually. So if you're dry, if you're feeling dusty, parched, all of these things, come and drink freely from the water of life, the fountain of life, God Himself. That's true for any of us here. Another blessing that we get, we find in verses 3, the last half of verse 3, it says, He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. God Himself, the shepherd, leads us in the paths of righteousness. He guides us in the right way. The idea in the Hebrew of by these paths of righteousness is the idea of a well-worn path. In other words, when you're going down to get water from the spring or from the river or from whatever, you're not making a new trail. There's a well-worn path that's safe, that's level, that all the encumbrances have been moved out of the way. That's what God does. He guides us in the right way, and He takes us down those well-worn paths. Those well-worn paths have a lot to do with us staying on the right track. I don't know about you, but I've wandered off the right track before. Anybody else in here ever done that? What happens when you wander off the track? Well, in my experience, there's thistles and thorns and lions and bears and tigers. Not literally, but right? There's things out there that will harm us. See, God has a way. God has a path. And you can choose. We can choose to follow God's path, or we can choose not to. And I'm here to tell you today that God, the great shepherd, He wants to guide you in the right path, because He knows that as soon as you wander off the path, there's trouble. There's trouble. You know, the Word of God is kind of like a field. The field that God has His sheep in, and the shepherd is there with the sheep. And inside that field, the sheep are free to eat from any tuft of grass that they choose to eat from. They're free to drink from any fountain or any spring that's within that field. The field I'm talking about is the Word of God. The sheep of God's fold are free to eat freely from the Word of God to get nourishment and sustenance from it. But when we venture outside of the field, then we venture outside of the protection of the shepherd. Right? Just makes sense. And when you and I venture outside of what God's Word clearly says is right and clearly says is wrong, we go outside of the protection of the Almighty. Now, He can rescue us. He could pull us back, and He does. Thank His name. Praise His name, right? But you don't have to suffer in that way if you don't choose to. But not everybody... Well, some people, like myself, are hard-headed. I like to do it my way. I like to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, with whom I want to do it, and I don't like to have any accountability. Anybody else like that? Probably not. It's probably just me, right? Yeah. I think we can all relate to that. But the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ Himself, provides guidance in the right way. He leads us in paths of righteousness, and He restores our soul, and He does it for His name's sake. So God leads us in these right paths to keep us holy, to keep us right, to keep us in where we need to be, and He does it for the sake of His own name. He doesn't do it just because he loves you, although that's a huge part of his motivation. But God's doing it because he has promised in his word to be faithful. God has promised to be faithful to you and to me. And God never turns back from a promise. Never. He will relentlessly pursue you and me until he reaches that objective of conforming us into the image of Christ. Whatever it takes and however long it takes, God never grows weary. God's never tired. He's never frustrated. He doesn't get that way. He's not like me, who I do grow weary. Sometimes I just don't want to deal with it. I don't want to deal with the people. I don't want to deal with life. I just want to retreat and read a book or do something else. But God doesn't do that. God's not like me. Praise the Lord. I'm glad about that. He gives guidance in the right way for his name's sake. Like I said, because God honors his promises. When I am faithless, God is faithful. Right? When I am faithless, God is faithful. God is always faithful. And he does it because that's who he is. It's his nature. So my point for telling you that is you can count on God. You may not can count on much else in life, but you can count on God. Because he will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He won't leave you dangling in the wind. He doesn't do that. He comes beside us. He walks with us. He travels the road with us. He doesn't just halfway do the job. That's not who we serve. Another blessing that we receive from following the Good Shepherd when we allow him to lead us is his protection. In verse 4 it says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." God here is promising to protect us from without and from within. He protects us from those who would do us harm, and he protects us from ourselves. For some of us, you're wondering why life is hard, why things don't work out like you want them to. Maybe things have gotten tough, whatever it is. Sometimes the thing to do when you look in the mirror in the morning is to look in the mirror and see yourself. For a lot of us, we're our own worst enemy. I'll say that again. For a lot of us, we're our own worst enemy. When we talk to ourselves, and make no mistake about it, you do talk to yourself. Matter of fact, I'll even go so far as to say this. You talk to yourself more than you talk to anybody else. You're the first person you talk to in the morning and the last person you talk to when you go to bed. Most people, right? That's okay. That's how we are. That's not horrible. It just is what it is. But we need protection from ourselves. Why? Because I'll delude myself into believing something that's not true. Because that thing that I want so badly may not be the best thing for me. And yet I can convince myself that that's what I need. Whatever it might be. You can fill in the blank. Just pick something. I'll convince myself that that's what I need because it's what I want and it's what I want right now. And it doesn't matter what I've learned in church. It doesn't matter what I've learned from my parents. It doesn't matter because I want what I want and I want it right now. That's the way we do sometimes. But God is there to call us back. Because when we've put his word in our heart, when we've followed him as our shepherd, when we've trusted him and allowed him to lead us and guide us, well, what happens is just like when my grandmother made me memorize the 23rd Psalm, echoes of the memories of the Word of God that had been planted in my heart would come back up inside of me, and they would well up inside of me and say, stop. Stop. Don't. See, God protects us by using His Word and His Spirit as a wall almost. And it'll rise up inside of you. But here's the thing. If that's not inside of you, if you don't have the Word of God in you in any substantial way, then you're going to struggle. You're going to struggle anyway, but you're going to struggle even more. And the very best line of protection that I believe God uses for most believers is the Word of God and the Spirit of God that lives in us. When it rises up in us, when we decide we're going to go a particular direction to do a particular thing that's not right or not good, the Spirit of God rises up within us and says, wait, go right, don't go left, or come back, don't go forward, stop. But here's the thing, are you listening? There's a question. Are you listening to God? Or are you just going through the motions? Some people just go through the motions. Well, I went to church, went to Bible study. That's good. Sang some songs. That's good. All those are good things. But it is possible to just go through the motions to the point that it really doesn't mean much to you. You're really not hearing from the Lord. You're just kind of going through the motions. And God wants more than that. He wants a relationship with you that is so intimate that when He whispers in your ear, you immediately recognize His voice. That's what God's looking for, immediate recognition. Not down the road 5 days later recognition, immediate. And that can happen when He is our shepherd, when He leads us, when He guides us, when He takes us along the way. That's what God does, and that's how He protects us. That's His first line of protection, is that thing inside of us as believers that says, no, stop, wait, relax, breathe. But He also protects us from outside. That's from within, right? He protects us from outside as well. You might have found yourself in certain situations. I don't want to tell all my stories or you really think I'm a heathen, but some of you who know me already know that. But there's been times in my life where I've had guns pulled on me and knives. And God protected me. Now, was I an idiot for being in those places? Yes, absolutely. Did I listen to the voice of the Lord? Well, I wasn't even a Christian, so no, I didn't. But even then, God was looking out for me. And I didn't even know it. And so there's some of you here today who aren't believers yet. And God is already looking out for you. He's already intervening in your life. He's already protecting you from the outside forces that would do you harm. And that's what He does. He protects us. But He's also our provider. If you look at verse 5, it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. And here in the psalm, when we get down to verse 5, the scene changes. It changes to a banquet hall where a gracious host provides lavish hospitality. With this imagery, the psalmist is rejoicing in God's provision. David was comforted that this lavish provision was provided even in the presence of his enemies. So God didn't wait till everything was perfect in David's life to give him abundant provision. He did it in the midst of the trial. How many of you have ever been through a really rough time in your life? I'm sure everybody in here could tell a story about that. And maybe a year later, or 2 years later, or 3 years later, you look back on it, you look back on that situation, you can see with a different set of eyes, right? Because when you're going through that time, you can't see very clearly. But when you're several years removed, you can look back over the horizon of time and see these things more clearly. And how many of you could look back and say, that was the time when God was there, and I didn't recognize it? Even in the midst of the struggle, even before your enemies, God is there providing for you in abundance, in abundance. Many of you have experienced loss in your life, the loss of a loved one, the loss of a job, right? Loss comes, and yet God remains. Does he not? Does not God remain faithful? Yes. And he provides not only what you need, but he supplies every need according to his riches and glory. That's what God does. He is the great provider, for sure. David was comforted by this, even in the presence of his enemies. Despite impending danger, the Lord spread out a table for him. That is, God provided. It's almost like he was walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and there's enemies up top here, there's enemies up top over here, and God said, David, come on over here. I'm going to go ahead and set out a table with a big spread, and we're going to have a feast right here in the middle of the enemies. But I'm going to not only provide for you, but I'm going to protect you. And we're going to taunt your enemies, because God is stronger than your adversary. That's what it's saying here. God is stronger than your adversary, the devil. And you got to believe that. You have to believe that God is able to overcome. He's already overcome the world. He's overcome the devil. He's overcome death. Why would you not believe, or possibly not believe, that he would provide for you in the midst of your enemies? See, this shows the great power of our God. The provision of our God is that he is so confident in his victory over sin and over death and over the devil and over all of our enemies. He's so confident in the victory that he's willing to lay out a lavish spread, a big table full of fruits and meats and nuts and everything else you could think of, even in the midst of the enemies. And so you may wonder, why is it that we are so blessed living in a world that is so oppressed? Because we serve a big God who's not afraid to lavish his goodness upon us in the midst of our enemies. That's what he does. Man, just get your mind around that. You can walk in peace and comfort and joy knowing that we serve a God who's overcome. He's overcome. And because he has overcome, then so have we. Because there's none that are able to snatch me and you out of his hand. None. There's nothing that can come against you that can defeat you in Christ. Nothing. Do you really believe that today is the question. Do you actually believe that? Or is that just something you've heard? Maybe something you've sung, but you're not real sure that that really applies to you. Oh, you've seen it apply in other people's lives who are maybe more spiritual, more holy, or so you think, than you are. But no, that's not true. That's the God that we serve. Despite impending danger, the Lord spread out a table for him. That is, God provided. The image of anointing the head with oil that he talks about here. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. It's refreshing and soothing. The concept is the gracious host that's welcoming someone into his house. That's what the oil represents. Abundance, graciousness, kindness, loving kindness. That's what God represents to us. He soothes us. He comforts us. He anoints our head with oil. As he's laid out a table before our enemies, he still calls us in. Despite our wounds, despite our struggle, despite the loss and the hurt and the pains of life, God is still willing to provide you with a banquet and to soothe you with oil. to bind up your wounds and care for you. You have nothing to fear from God if you're a believer. Matter of fact, the Bible says in 1 John that if you fear, you have not been made perfect by love. I want to say that again because I want you to hear it. If you're a believer in Christ, you have nothing to fear from God. Some of you are going, yeah, but you either believe that statement or you don't. I'm going to challenge you today to believe it. To believe it. Because God loves you. He wants to. He delights in anointing your head with oil. He delights in bandaging your wounds. He delights in providing a banquet for you. Most of us, though, we're not willing to rest and trust. We somehow have the mistaken notion that if we don't do it, then it can't happen. But let me tell you today, that's simply not true. If God doesn't do it, it's not going to happen. God is the provider. God is the healer. God is the leader. He is the great shepherd. David knew that his lot in life, that cup and the oil and all the abundance, that is the blessing of the Lord. And we know these things as well. It's the blessing of the Lord. We come to verse 6. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David realized that the Lord's good, loyal love would go with him everywhere through all of his life. God's blessings on his people remain with them no matter what their circumstances may be. So he concludes rightly that he will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's David's conclusion. After extolling the virtues of the shepherd, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, he concludes that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And our faith needs to be just that strong. Well, let me ask you today, do you want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever? I'll ask it again. Do you want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever? Do you want to enjoy the limitless bounty of the blessings of the Lord in this life and the life to come? Well, that's going to happen first and foremost, that the Lord must be your shepherd. God can't just be some figure out there floating around, some idea. He actually has to be your shepherd. And if God is going to be your shepherd, what that necessarily means for all of us is that we must put our trust, because the sheep trust the shepherd. Right? And if you're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, you must first put your trust in God. You must first put your trust in Christ, Jesus Christ, and what he did on the cross. You know, Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried. And on the third day, he rose from the dead. And it's when we confess that we believe that, and we repent of our sin and turn from that, that God becomes our shepherd. He becomes the great shepherd. He's already the great shepherd. He's just waiting to be your shepherd, right? Have you trusted him? That's really the question. Have you trusted God? Do you want to live in the house of the Lord forever? Do you want to have his goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life? Do you want that? Well, there's a lot of you here that you're already there. Praise God. But there's few of you sitting here today that you've been struggling with that choice. Can I trust God? Can I not? Look around this room. There are hundreds of people in this room who have chosen to trust the Good Shepherd. And if you ask any one of them, was it a bad choice? Did I make a mistake? you're going to hear the words, no, you can trust God. You can trust God. Oh, brothers and sisters, how I wish I would have known that sooner. People were telling me, I just wasn't listening. I didn't want to hear. I didn't want to hear. So if you're not a believer today, if you haven't trusted the Good Shepherd, part of the invitation is going to be for you to come and let us walk with you and show you how you can trust the Good Shepherd, how you can be a believer in Jesus Christ, and how you can dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Some of you today, most of you probably, are already believers. The other part of the invitation is for you guys, just as it is for me. If you've been struggling, if you've wandered off the path even a little bit, or you just feel dry, you've just been parched, and you long to drink again and afresh and anew from the fountain of life, come to the altar today and be renewed. God restores our souls. He restores your soul, and He will do that for you even now. If you would stand, as the musicians go ahead and come forward, if you would stand and join me in a prayer, and as the song begins here momentarily, I'm going to ask that if you would bow your head in prayer and pray that God would move in the hearts of those who might not know Christ, who don't know the Good Shepherd, and then pray for those who are struggling that they might come. Come and drink deeply from the water of life. Join me in prayer. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for these people. God, I thank you that it is powerful. Lord, that it has the power to save. It has the power to restore. It has the power to renew. And God, I pray for those who may be in this room who've been struggling with trusting Christ, trusting the shepherd. God, I pray that you would compel them to come today by whatever means necessary. And Father, for those who are just weary, life has beaten them down, God, I pray that they would come today and drink afresh and anew of the water of life that you provide and restore their very souls. Do it even now, Lord Jesus. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. You come as the Lord leads.